Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. Uh-huh. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me, and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your door, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom. First and foremost, give all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. God's righteous, God's holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, to bring to you the great and exalted words of Yah, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael, Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth Well, y'all ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. But who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Israel, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And he is our only savior. And not just of Israel, but he is savior of the world. And I thank the mighty Yah for allowing us to come before you once again to bring to you his great and exalted words. Tonight, we will be dealing with who are the Ishmaelites. And we will, in fact, show the young children now, the people, the community, the organization, the nation, that you might see and call as the Jewish community, the Jewish nation, those who call them Jews, reside, occupy, and control the state of Israel. Now, for some, that might be a little bit strange, because for the most part, many people see these people as Europeans. And I'm not talking about those that are from Europe. I'm talking about the Jews that you don't see. I'm speaking about the ones that control the various things that cause a name, such as the name of Israel, to be in remembrance no more. Watch what the scripture says about this name in the book of Psalms 83. If you turn there. And I apologize to the listening audience if I was stumbling over words last night, because I was. Now I'm prepared with some glasses, and I think I'll do a little bit better. Plus, I have Moray Isha here to help me. So we got two pair of glasses. But this is what it says in the book of Psalms 83, the very first verse.
Not thou silence, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace. Be not still, O Elohim. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head.
And you got to understand, you got to look at the various nations in the world, and you got to ask yourself, which one of these nations have lifted up the head? Which one of these nations hate the Most High? To the extent that the Almighty said he'd been holding his peace, he'd been keeping silence, but now the enemy has lifted up their head. And watch what they have
taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones.
And what have they done so crafty?
They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Yeah, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. We know Mexico can do this to us. They don't have no power. No African country did this. What power do they have? They don't have no power. There are people that have power, and I'm going to show you the power that they have that you should be surprised about. Some people say, yeah, this is a black nation and this. What black nation have enough power to destroy your name? Now, I can understand in ancient times, but in modern times, who in the modern time got this power? And watch what happens.
But they have consulted together with one consent.
It's only one consent.
They are confederate against thee.
And that one consent, they have confederated themselves together for this one consent.
The tabernacles of Edom.
Yeah, that's the house of Edom. That's the sanctuary of Edom. That is the nation of Edom. And who is the nation of Edom? The nation of Edom are the Edomites. And who and where were they born? Well, from Esau. He's the father of the Edomites. He's the one, first one that is mentioned. Go ahead.
And the Ishmaelites.
And the Ishmaelites.
Of Moab.
Of Moab.
And the Hagarenes.
And the Hagarenes.
Jabal. And Ammon. And Amalek. The Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre.
Yeah, all these people have confederated themselves for one consent. Now, the mass majority of these people, not all of them, though, but many of them are Ishmaelites. But not all of them. And watch what else it says, a verse.
Ashur also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot.
In other words, the children of Lot is also mixed up in this. And who is the children of Lot? Moab and Gammon and Ammon. Go ahead.
Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Yabin, at the brook of Kishon.
Yeah, so we got all these people confederated against us to cut our names. Oh, and we want to name the main players. And we want to know the power and the instruments used to destroy us. As a matter of fact, most of our people use these instruments every day. Who do you think control the various libraries that you go into? Somebody got to publish these books, and somebody got to use these publishing companies. Who do you think they own by? Who do you think the various media outlets are owned by? The various news stations that give you all the various propaganda that you hear and see every day. As a matter of fact, these news stations now, they don't even report news. They like TV sitcoms. This is how much propaganda comes from these things. It's like cable TV. You think own the various banks, finance companies, control the money. There is no one greater in controlling the various resources that is needed to cut your name off. All they got to do is call you certain names in certain books, certain writings. All they have to do is report certain things in the various papers and big things on TV. And whatever they say, that's what you become. All they have to do is put your race on a birth certificate. That's who you are. You say you was what they call you. They came up with these. Of course, it was the Most High said you would be a Bible and a proverb, but they put that on your documentation. And you got to understand who control all these things. Well, it's Edom. And I want you to see this, but I want you to see his character. And we're not going to go through all the various scriptures that I showed you before, but I want to recap this so that you can really understand who you're dealing with. See, it's easy for me to come before you and tell you this truth, because I even know they're responsible for the words that I'm putting out right now. They can shut this down. But I don't care because the Almighty, my help, and he controls everything. And he controls the words out of my mouth, not them. But watch this so you can see how the Most High described the man that will counsel to cut you off in the book of Genesis 25. And we're just going to go over a few things. And then we're going to get to the other perpetrators. In the book of Genesis 25, there's certain things you want to write down and note. For example, you want to write this down in the book of Genesis 25. And this is what it says in the 19th verse.
Genesis 25, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated Yah for his wife because she was barren, and Yahweh was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, am I thus? And she went to inquire of Yah.
And she inquired of Yah, but understand this, that since these twins, these babies, these brothers, since been in the womb, been fighting and struggling with one another. So it's no surprise that it's still happening from that time, even all the way until now. So you need to know who this struggle is with. Continue reading.
And Yahweh said unto her, nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.
So make no mistake about it. Our fathers were brothers, but they were two nations altogether. Two different people all together. You want to write that down. In other words, they were not the same. By no stretch of the imagination were they the same. They didn't look like each other. They didn't act like each other because they was two different people. Two different nations. And watch this. Continue reading. So write that down.
And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau.
Well, that's what Esau means. Esau means red. That's what it means. That's what his name means. And he was red like a hairy garment. And who is that? A lot of people say, well, I don't see no red man like a hairy garment today. Yeah, this is how he looked when he was a baby. But as he grew up, you didn't see all the redness that he came out with. This is how it was described. This is how why he was named. But let him get mad. Then you're going to see what they see when he was a baby. Continue reading.
And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Yitzchak was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of field, and Yaakov was a plain man, dwelling in tents.
You want to write this down. Esau was a hunter, a man of the field, and Yaakov, he was a plains man. And what's a plain man? Well, he was smooth. This guy was smooth. Dwelling in tents. You say, why are you dwelling in tents? Why don't he get his tail out and hunt? Well, because he kept the sheep. He kept the flock. This was his trade, even when he was young, all the way until he was old. And this is what he handed down to his family, his sons. We kept flock. We weren't out hunting. Now, who hunt today? Is it the smooth man or the red man? Who do all the hunting? I'm not talking about fishing. That's not hunting. I'm talking about hunting. Go out, kill animals for no good reason. Take the ivory off of them for no good reason other than for money. Go kill some lions and tigers and bears. Skin them alive. Skin them. Take the skin. Sell it. Who do that type stuff? Not a plain man. Not a smooth man. Not a man that dwells in a tent. But this is what hunters do. And y'all know what we're talking about. Y'all know who the hunters are. They ain't smooth at all. So you want to write this down. Furthermore, in the book of Genesis 26, oh no, I can't skip this part. You got to write this down. In 25, read this, start at the 29th verse. Got to write this down. Yeah, verse 29 in Genesis 25.
Yahweh sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom.
And why was his name called Edom? Because of this red pottage. That's what Edom means. It means red. Go ahead.
Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?
In other words, he wasn't a man that, this man was already working a deal. He's always working a deal. He knew value and stuff. And at this point, at this time, at this moment, the red pottage had more value than a birthright. He didn't value that at all. So Jay was here, sell me your birthright. Any normal person would say, oh man, I'm not selling you. That ain't even mine to sell. And I'm not going to sell it to you. You're supposed to be my brother. Give me some pottage or I'm going to go get some food for my mom and daddy. Where were they? It's like he was on the other side of Jordan somewhere. No. But he didn't value this birthright. Continue reading.
And Yaakov, Yaakov said, swear to me this day.
Mm-hmm.
Swear unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Yaakov. Then Yaakov gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
Yeah, he despised his birthright. He didn't value that at all. Just like our people don't love and respect and revere their birthright. Because if they really understood what they inherited, their birthright, you're an Israelite. You're an Israelite. Israelite is supposed to be a certain type of way. And it's called holy. That's what an Israelite's supposed to be. And the only way we can revere and have respect for our birthright is to be holy and to be anything less, possibly revere your birthright. You like Esau. I don't care what we are. I don't care what color we are. I don't care about nothing. I'm America. I don't want to think about the past and the ancient days. What's that going to do for me today. Yeah, that's people with no knowledge. No knowledge. But watch again. So write that down. He despises birthright. It's two manner of people. Two different nations all together. The one came out red and hairy. And we're going to revisit that in Genesis 26. The 34th verse.
And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Beshemoth, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite.
Yeah, what you mean Hittites for? And watch what happens. Go ahead.
Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah.
Yeah, this was grief of mind. This was terrible. This was a total abomination to his parents. They raised him better than this. They married some Hittites. And this is the type of mind this man had. I just want y'all to see what's happening. Some people say, well, the Hittites was black. They were black. Yes, that is true. They were black. The Canaanites were black. The Ishmaelites was black. And most of the people Esau married into were black. But all the people we married was black too. And look at us today. We're a speckled bird, man. Some of us yellow, some of us white, some of us brown. We all kind of colors of the spectrum. So just because of what happened then, that ain't the same now. And again, watch this, Genesis 27. That's to show you the type of man we're dealing with. 11th verse. This is when he got the blessing.
And Yaakov said unto Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man.
Esau, my brother, he's a hairy man. It's really obvious that this man is a hairy man. That's the first thing you're going to see is hair popping all out of his veins. You won't even see no veins because there's so much hair. No wonder some nations of people, when they seen certain people, they looked at them and said, man, this must be a Homo sapien or something like that. No wonder they thought some of us came from gorillas because we just had hair all over. Now, they couldn't have thought that about a black man because a black man was a fool man. Read that again.
And Yaakov said unto Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man.
He's a hairy man.
I am a smooth man.
And that's the difference. There's a great difference. You got to write it down. You got to note that. And let's get right to the blessing of Esau. 34th verse. No, let's go down to the 38 verse.
And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And his father answered, said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shall live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when you shall have dominion, you shall break his yoke from off thy neck.
So in other words, so his blessing that he didn't want is the fact, first of all, he should never have sold his birthright. That's number one. He put his birthright in his lead, and that was that red potash. He always trying to sell something. He always trying to Jew people. And this is the problem. Everything for sale. Everything. There's nothing that he has that is not for sale. And everybody know it. It says, his dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. In other words, the richness of where he dwell at, he's going to be able to pull the rich right out of the earth. And now the dew of heaven from above. In other words, he's going to have the money. He's going to have the resources to do the things that he needs to do. And what do we need to do? Well, you need to live by the sword. That's what it says in the 40th verse. By thy sword, thou shalt live. In other words, this life is about living by the sword. Why do you think the state of Israel is one of the most fierce militaries on earth? The most fierce. And the people of the earth know it. He got a bunch of people that surrounding him that hate him. But they can't do nothing because he's that fierce. It's true, he got a lot of backing with the United States. But at the end of the day, he knows he can hold his own. He knows he can. He has before. And he's the smallest nation on earth. So he has the resources that has came not all just here in America, but in all over Europe and Africa. Where do you think, who you own all the diamonds and the gold mines, the diamond mines, and all the various precious metals? All you got to do, patience. Of the very people that we're talking about. Look at their names, Silverstein and Goldstein and Rothschild. And, well, you know what a rock is? These people are rich. The fatness of the earth, the dew of heaven. And they use these resources to do exactly what the Almighty said they would do, to cut the name of Israel off. That it might not be in remembrance no more. And what do we have today? People don't even know who we are. People think we somebody we ain't. Calling us by bywords and proverbs. That's what's going on. Just want you to see the mind of who we're dealing with. In Genesis, the 28th chapter, the 6th verse.
When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Paddan Aram.
And now, mind you, watch it, they've already did that. He's already had two Hittite wives. Where do you think the Hittites at? Canaan. And watch what it says.
And Esau seen that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. Then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife.
Yeah, so he went to the Ishmaelites. Ishmael. Now can you see this confederacy becoming clearer? Clearer and clearer and clearer. And how these two would get together. In today's terms, when they trying to prove something in the courts. And they trying to prove whether you are guilty or not. The first thing they look for is motive. What is your motivation behind what you are alleged to have done? What is your motive?
What's Esau's motive?
A blessing. He got a blessing that he didn't want. Jacob got the blessing. And what did he want to do as a result of it? He wanted to kill it. Well, what was Ishmael's motive? Well, Ishmael didn't get the blessing either from Abraham. Isaac did. He sent Ishmael away, even though Ishmael was the firstborn. Isaac got the blessing. That's the first thing you look for. Look for a motive. And now that we got the motive, let's look and tell us have conspired and confederated to do. Now we can start seeing the whole picture. Esau done married some of Ishmael's daughters. Now they family, real family. Now we can get busy. Twitter says, just one more thing in Genesis 36. Because we're capping on this, I just wanted you to see these things. Matter of fact, I need to see them because now I got my glasses, I can see them a little bit more clear. The very first verse, what do it say?
Now, these are the generations of Esau. Who is Edom?
That's who Edom is, Esau. And who is that? The so-called Jews. That's who it is. It's not all the Jews. Don't think it's all the Jews, and just because somebody called itself a Jew, no, it's not that. But amongst those, the Jewish community, amongst those, are the Edomites. There. Right inside of them. Esau took his wives of the daughter of Canaan, adopted the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, Aholibama, the daughter of Nah, the daughter of Zibion, the Hittite. Not only that, he took a Hittite, took a Hittite, he took an Ishmaelite. Everybody that we should have no dealings with anyway. Then, to really, he did worse. Watch this. I just want you to see this in the book of 1 Kings. Turn there. Since we're talking about marriage, 1 Kings 11 chapter. So you, why we so jacked up? This is what it says in 1 Kings 11 chapter, the first verse.
But King Solomon loved many strange women.
Yeah, these women were strange. And what was so strange about them? They were strange, first of all, because they weren't Israelites. They were strange because they were women that the Creator himself said don't deal with. And they were strange because they all had some type of false idol deity that they were serving. And watch what it says.
Together with the daughter of Pharaoh.
Daughter of Pharaoh.
Women of the Moabites.
Women of the Moabites.
The Ammonites.
Edomites.
Sidonians.
And the Hittites. In other words, the Moabites we didn't supposed to deal with. The Ammonites. The Edomites. The Sidonians. The Hittites. Or the Egyptians. The daughter of Pharaoh. We weren't supposed to deal with none of these strange women. And how do we know that? The second verse.
Of the nations concerning, which Yahweh said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they'll turn away your heart after their deities. Solomon clave unto these in love.
And that's exactly what happened. And this, when our nation was torn into two, as a result, marrying foreign wives. And Esau was treacherous, man. This was treacherous, man. This is a treacherous little fella. Won't you see? Look in the book of 1 Samuel 22. Because just ask yourself, who would do such a thing, man? You know. And I want you to start at the sixth verse.
When Saul heard that David was discovered and the men that were with him, now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, Benjaminites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that sheweth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or sheweth unto me that my son hath stirred up my servant against me, lie in wait as at this day."
In other words, he just blaming everybody for his problems, and Saul was the one who turned from Yah, and Yah was the one who rejected Saul from being king. And David, all he did all his life was serve Saul honorably. And even though Saul was trying to kill David, he still served him honorably. But watch what happens.
Verse 9, then answered Doeg, the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of Yah for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, "Hear now, thou son of Ahitub." And he answered and said, "Here I am, my master." And Saul said to him, "Why have you conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, and that thou givest him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of Elohim for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day?" And Ahimelech answered the king and said, "So faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at bidding, and is honorable in thine house, did I then begin to inquire of Elohim for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more." And the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, "Turn and slay the priest of Yah, because their hand is also with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me." But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of Yah.
Yeah, no righteous servant of the Most High would do such a thing, but the wicked will. Here it is, y'all got people that's leading y'all to tell y'all, don't talk to these people, and y'all would do it. Don't go to those classes, and you all would do it. They won't show you a law or nothing. and you'll do exactly what the leader said. Don't talk to them. Don't do this and don't do that. And then you'll sing songs and write poems about leaders. Where's that in the book? And then you'll sing and dance and celebrate. These are things that are abomination to Yah. The Almighty said, "That's not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." The Creator said, according to his law, this is not what you do to the leaders of your people. Even if the king told you to do something as abominable as this, and the king told these servants, kill the priests of Yah. And you know what they did? Not one of them laid a hand on the priests of Yah. But watch what happens.
And the king said unto Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests.
See the spirit of Edomites? You see it? You got to know who you're dealing with today. And what happened? What did he do?
And slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and sucklings, and oxen, and asses, and sheep, with the edge of the sword.
See what we're dealing with? See? This is what we're dealing with. Somebody that will put their hand on a priest of Yah. Only the wicked would do such a thing. No wonder Yah said he has indignation forever. We got to know who we're dealing with and who they are. And undoubtedly, our people just don't know. There's one thing that you can do, though. Let me show you what you can do. This is one thing if you like and you really want to be around the descendants of Esau. Let me show you what you can do since you really love them and like them. In the book of Deuteronomy, 2nd chapter. Just want you to see this. You can do this. This is okay. This is acceptable. Israelites, they love them. Yeah, I hate them. Some Israelites say, well, you're not supposed to abhor Edomite. And that is true. That is the law. But Yah hates them. Look what Yah says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 2nd chapter. Deuteronomy 2. Start at verse 3.
Ye have passed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward, and command thou the people, saying, start to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you their land. No, not so much as a foot breadth. Because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat. And ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For Yah thy Elohim hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands.
So in other words, you can buy their meats. They know how to kosher meats and everything. They have some real good kosher meats for you. Have a few good kosher products for you, and that's fine. Body water, you're good. But other than that, outside of that, you need to see what you're dealing with. One more scripture about the, and well, two more. Obadiah and Malachi. Let's go to Obadiah. Then we're going to get right on the Ishmaelites. Lot to say about them, you might see them real quick.
When you get to the book of Obadiah, start at the very first verse. I just want you to see who you're dealing with.
The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from Yah. An ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised.
In other words, greatly despised and small among the heathen. In other words, most people don't even like this man. And why? Why do you think he had the term Jew? What you think? Look up the word Jew and see what it says. Some of the definitions that it has for the word Jew. This is a word we used back in the day. Continue reading.
The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set the nest among the stars, hence will I bring thee down, saith Yah. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up?
Yeah, how are these things sought up and searched out? In other words, one day you're going to come to the realization that this man put his nest wasn't your nest. The nest is where you lay your head amongst the stars, all the satellites, space stations, and all that kind of stuff. Take this guy named, what's his name? Something Brunson. Virgin Mobile guy. Man, he got space stations right now that he's building in Florida for people to go, the average man, to go up to space and go out of space. Why? Because they had the resources. Why? Because they exalt themselves as an eagle. Why? Because they set their nests among the stars. But from this, well, Yah bring them down. Bring them down. Verse.
All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding him.
Yeah, I think they got the guys who was confederated against him. Now they all turned against him. And why? Because he jewed them also. In other words, they supposed to split the land up by lot. And what happened? He refused to do it. He refused to share the property. He refused to share the booty. He refused to be balanced. He got played. So now he's greatly despised. Continue reading.
Shall I not in that day, saith Yah, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mouth of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter.
They're going to be cut off by slaughter. Go ahead.
For thy violence against thy brother Yaakov, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever.
Forever.
In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them.
You was just like them, man. You was part of this thing.
Thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldst thou have rejoiced over the children of Yehuda in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of stress.
In other words, Yehuda, they the ones that was put on these ships, naked, barefoot, and butt naked. That was Yehuda. And the Almighty said, we shall go into captivity again by ships. Well, that was Yehuda. All you got to do is look up. You can Google this. Just look at the people, the names of the people who owned the ships. And let me tell you who owned the ships and who financed slavery. And yes, the Edomites. And who are they? Yeah, the Jewish community. They know who they are. You just don't know who they are. Who do you think have the power to make this happen? They had the power. They had resources. And this is what they have done. This is what they're doing. But now the Confederacy, because they didn't split up their land like they were supposed to, and now they're greatly despised. Further, watch what it says.
Verse 13. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of thy of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hand on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those that of his that escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress.
You know what? They made sure that every last single one of us, one of our ancestors, got caught, paid the price, and was destroyed. Yes. Esau. That's who Esau is. People tell you about some other man named Esau, and I ask him what power he got. What do he own? What resources do he got where he can destroy people and cut off their name that it might be in remembrance no more? Who is this? And it's nobody. Well, let me show you the other perpetrator in the book of Genesis 16. As you know, we mentioned the first man. You know, he's at the top. He's the head perpetrator. But there's another perpetrator now. And the second was mentioned was the Ishmaelites. And watch what it says in Genesis, the 16th chapter. So I can introduce to you the origin and the birth of this fellow. Genesis 16 and 1.
Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, Yah hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that he conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Yahweh judge between me and thee.
Yeah, I was doing it for you, buddy. And then she started despising me. My wrong be upon thee. In other words, you watch this go down, let this go down, and you knew this woman. You see how she treated me now. Straighten this mess out. Look how Abraham straightened it out.
Abraham said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face, And the angel of God found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of Yah said unto her, return unto thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of Yah said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not number for multitude. And the angel of Yah said unto her, behold, you are with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because Yah hath heard the affliction. He will be a wild man.
And watch what it says about this Ishmael. Read that again. And he will be a what?
Wild man.
This is what Hagar knew about her son even before he was born. Just like Rebecca knew about Jacob and Esau before they were born. Now here is the news that Hagar gets. Twelve verse again.
And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man.
His hand will be against every man.
And every man's hand against him.
And every man's hand against him.
And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren.
And he's going to dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Who do you think that is? Yeah, the Arab. That's exactly who it is. The Arabs. That's this wild man that would take bombs and strap it on their shoulder, put it under their shirt, and just blow up innocent women and children. They might be in a grocery market just shopping for food. They might be on a bus traveling. They might be in a theater watching a movie. Just doing what you do when you watch a movie. And here comes an Arab and would do such a thing. Now, don't get me wrong, because I don't want you to think I'm discriminating, because we done seen a lot of Europeans do the same thing, going to churches and start killing everybody in the church. What they do? What did they do in the church against you? And you go in the church and start spraying the churches. That don't even make sense. Just like it don't make sense with the seed of Ishmael, Hagar's son. And what's a wild man? A wild man is a man you can't control. A man that refuses to be subjected to anyone else. This wild man is when a man that hand will be against every man. Every man hands will be against him. Because this is the type of man you got to fight back. And all his brethren live, for the most part, among one another. Well, who you think is in Iraq and Syria and Iran and Jordan and Egypt and all the other various places, in Kuwait and Afghanistan? And who you think is in all these places? Arabs. They are brethren. Don't get confused by one of them calling themselves Sunni and another calling themselves something. Those are just religions. But they all are Arabs. They brothers. Furthermore, in Genesis 17, so you can see this, twentieth verse.
And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him.
I blessed him.
And will make him fruitful.
Uh-huh.
And will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee as at the set time next year. And he left off talking to him, and Elohim went up from Abraham.
In other words, motive. Now you see the motive. Now you see motivation that one can have because they didn't get the blessing. And this is where it was born, on right here. And show you what happened with Ishmael. Just want you to see this. Genesis 21, verse 9. Now we're talking about the Ishmaelites.
And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had bore unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even Yitzchak. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son.
Yeah, he loved his son. He only cast out his son. But look what happened.
And Elohim said unto Abraham, let not it be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba.
In other words, he gave her some bread and water and sent her on her way. Seemed like a real harsh thing to do, but the angel said, don't worry about her. We got her. She's going to be fine. He already told her that she's going to have 12 sons, 12 princes, and they shall be greatly blessed, and they shall multiply. Continue reading.
And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice and wept. And Elohim heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of Elohim called unto Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. For Elohim hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And Elohim opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And Elohim was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt.
Took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And she was an Egyptian. So that's where they started. Why do you think the Arabs are in Egypt? Because of Hagar. This is why they're there. And then you also find that the Arabs, these people are rich. They were very blessed. Who do you think owned most of the oil in the world? The Arabs. You ever seen their palaces that they live in? This stuff over here can't compare to the things over there. They're rich. Who you think finance most of the black market today? The A-Rash. Y'all know what the black market is, right? The stuff that don't supposed to be sold. And yeah, they sell it and or finance it. So in other words, they got just as much money as Edom. And you put those two together, man, they can do whatever. It's just one of them, Esau, deceived them. Now, they control the land. And it wasn't supposed to go down that way. Now, everybody is against one another. And a day is coming where they all will meet our maker, even their maker, because Yah is the maker of all. That's who the Ishmaelites are today. They are the Arabs. Look what it says in Genesis 25. At the seventh verse.
And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life. We lived in 115 years. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, was gathered to his people. And his son Yitzchak and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, in the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that Elohim blessed his son Yitzchak, and Yitzchak dwelled by the well Lahairo. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, and Kedar, and Adbi, and Mibam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masah, Hadar, and Timah, Ter, Nafish, and Kedamah. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names, by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nation.
And I mean, they had castles. This stuff over here is houses, but they had castles. And watch what it says.
These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Hila unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the generations of Yitzchak, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Yitzchak.
And we don't have to read about Isaac, because we're talking about the Ishmaelites. Show you how these people will affect our people, how they affected our people in the past, even all the way to this day. And I may add, this stuff is just a part of history. But what history? The scriptures. And a lot of this stuff they teach in school. And I think you're going to find it in the book of Joel. If you turn there, so you can see this, what role they will play in the demise of our people. In the book of Joel, let's see chapter of 1 is going to be in the third chapter. And watch this. And we're going to start reading at the first verse.
For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land.
And parted my land. And who was this? Go ahead.
And they cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot.
In other words, they sold a little boy for a harlot, you know. And go ahead.
Sold a girl for wine.
And sold a girl for wine.
That they may drink.
Yeah, they didn't need the money because they was rich. Go ahead.
Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre?
Now we're getting into names. Tyre.
In Zidon.
Zidon.
And all the coasts of Palestine.
And all the coasts of Palestine. In other words, who you think that is? Arabs. Go ahead.
Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things.
Yeah, where do you think the Dome of the Rock is? That they go to worship and cast little rocks. Go ahead.
The children also of Yehuda and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians.
In other words, they sold our people to the Grecians, to the Greeks. Go ahead.
That ye might remove them far from their border.
Yeah, people thought, yeah, it was Africans that did that. Man, these were Arabs. Ruled Africans. Arabs. Who do you think control Africa? Arabs. Why do you think most of the African countries practice Islam? Because of Arabs. Arabs. Continue reading.
Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head.
Yeah, who you think control the world today? There's three major religions that control the world today. Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Who's Judaism? Yes, the Jewish people. Who control Islam? The Arabs. And who control Christianity? The Europeans. And we're going to get to them. And we're going to show you how they was part of this confederacy. We're going to show you their role. They're showing you part of their role right now. Continue reading.
And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Yehuda, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for Yahweh has spoken it.
For Yahweh has spoken it. This is what the Palestinians, not the Palestinians, the Arabs do. All the coasts of Palestine and Tyre. And Zidon. These are what these people did to remove us from our homeland. Why don't we know this information? Why don't we know what true enemies are? Why do you think there's no reason at all for our people to be practicing a religion from a people that's responsible for cutting your name off? They not only use religion, but they use every arsenal that they hate to bring you to destruction. These are the Edomites. These are the Israelites. And we don't get to the Gentile. We're going to get to them and show you what they also would do. And all the various things, all our various customs that our people, not just the religions, but many of the various customs that our people have inherited, three religions. And these three people, three nations, show you one of the customs our people love. They really love this custom right here. But this is just a custom that was borrowed from other people in the book of Judges. And show you how what our people would do. Judges, the 8th chapter. And let's start at the 22nd verse.
Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both you and your son's son also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian.
You have delivered us from the hand of the Midianites. Go ahead.
Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you. Shall my son rule over you? Yahweh shall rule over
you. See, that's when you know somebody is righteous. We got people and leaders, they want to know who the head is. Talking about they the one should be the head. And I inherit this. And I'm the top dog. But when you're righteous, everybody know there's only one ruler, and that's Yah. Yah should rule over you. What are the leaders fighting for position for? That don't make no kind of sense. When Yah is king, Yah is the judge, Yah is the lawgiver. What do we have to fight over to talk about who's going to be the top? Who's going to be the head? Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the one this and one that? Y'all have already chosen that. There's nothing but pride. But y'all's going to bring this pride down. Continue reading.
Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you. Ye would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had gotten golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites.
Yeah, they got these gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. That's what the Ishmaelites used to wear. They wear golden earrings. Now our people don't adopt that. So you see a bunch of men with earrings. They wear earrings, right? This was an Ishmaelite thing. This was what the Arabs did. And we just borrowed it. We bought this thing. And now our people, you know, they got this gold, and every time people got gold from other people that they shouldn't have got, it was always some funny business going on. Watch what happens.
Verse
25th verse.
And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast there in every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars, and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about their camels' necks.
Man, that's how much money these people had. Chains, that was a, you know how big a camel neck is? And they had chains on camels' necks. Go ahead.
And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city. Even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house.
See what Israel do? It don't matter. Israel will worship anything. That's why the Almighty said, took away our king, our prince, image, problem. This has always been our demise. All the Almighty ever told us to do is to remember the law and keep his commandments. And to worship anything other than the Most High is against his law and his commandments. This is the first commandment. So how do it look for an Israelite to be going around worshiping others, something other than the Creator himself, and then try to justify it? And let me tell you who this false worship came from. The Edomites. And many of our people going to their synagogues today, talking about Hashem. That's not the Creator's name. That's not a name, period. Islam. And what are people doing in these mosques? They shouldn't be in these mosques worshiping with God. And don't let me get into Christianity in the New Testament. All these things, all these religions, all these books, and these nations are responsible, are perpetrators, cutting the name of Israel off. Wake up, Israel. Wake up. Recognize who you are. Recognize who your enemies are. Rise up and serve the true and living Creator who created all things. That's all you got to do. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Who are the Edomites? Who are the Israelites? Well, we just showed you. So until tomorrow, y'all love you, and so do I. Shalom.